What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Tucson Pinball Podcast, episode 12. So let's talk about tutorials and what that means to pinball and playing various games. So there's more of a casual side of pinball, and then there's a competitive side of pinball, and sometimes those lines just don't cross at all. You know, some tournament players, they don't like getting together and playing for fun, and some casual players have no interest in tournaments. And that's cool because, both sides of the story can work, and, you know, it's all there and it's all good, right? So, but even if you're not a tournament player, or even if you, that's all you do, like, there's always ways to learn a game better, right? Maybe it's to score more points, or maybe it's to get to that one spot of the mode tree that you just can't get to, or maybe it's to find out another cool thing and to have the most fun possible on a game, or maybe you avoid tutorials altogether because you want to discover everything on your own, and when somebody starts talking about it, it's just like the latest, you know, Game of Thrones or Walking Dead episode where you just kind of plug your ears and just say la 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 la, you know, because you don't want to hear it. You haven't experienced it yourself yet, and so you don't want it to be spoiled by somebody else. Well, so here's my thing on tutorials. I don't mind watching tutorials to learn a game. If it's a game that I'm expecting to play that I've never played before, I only need to go so far, and I just need a basic strategy. I just need to kind of know what I'm doing, right? Don't tell me the whole game, because I'm not going to do the whole game, you know, in the first time ever playing the game, hopefully. That would be cool, though, you know, just one time. Be like, yeah, I got through that whole thing. One try, done. But for the most part, you're not going to see the whole game. So why even attempt to remember everything that there is to know about it, right? Because you don't need that. All you need to know is a good, solid strategy that you'll struggle to forget, so that when you're up there playing, you're just like, all right, hit this shot, hit this shot, hit that shot. And just, or, you know, see where that leads, or just keep doing it over and over again, depending on the type of game, whatever. What I don't want to see in a tutorial, and it's fine that it's in there, but what I really don't want to see is I don't want to see the final mode, whether it's the wizard mode or, you know, the last step of whatever. I kind of don't want to see that, because I kind of, you know, not that I'm going to get there, not that I'm expecting to get there, but that if I'm not going to get there, I don't really want to know, you know what I mean? So, anyways, we had a bi-weekly tonight. Oh, hey, by the way, happy Thanksgiving. That's tomorrow. Or maybe now, or maybe it was yesterday, or whenever you're listening to this. But, yeah, so it's Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving, and I was driving to the bi-weekly tonight, and I was listening to the basic, intermediate, and advanced strategy being talked about on Ghostbusters. And that was being discussed on a podcast called the Little Kings Pinball Podcast, and they are based out of Colorado. It's the two Ryans, and they have kind of an explanation how they got the name of the podcast and everything like that, and it's good, it's entertaining, it's informative, it's competitive talk a little bit, it's a little bit of operator talk, because they both have machines on location, they both are in two different areas of Colorado, so they have their own, you know, kind of local feel and perspective and everything, but what they've started doing is they've started doing basic, intermediate, and advanced strategies on a game, a podcast, right? So I think they did one on Metallica recently, which is kind of cool because we don't have one of those publicly yet. And I've only played it a handful of times, and I don't remember if it's them. I know they talk about it on Bowen's Papa tutorial video where he's like, the simplest strategy is just shoot Sparky till you get into multi-ball. And that was probably discussed on the Little Kings podcast as well. But that was kind of cool, because I've got a couple games on, and I kind of know what I'm doing, and, you know, just kind of listening to people who really know the game explain things, and just like, oh, hey, so I kind of was on the right track with what I was trying to do. You know, that's kind of cool. Or if you're way off base, it's like, wow, okay, well, that's good to know. Don't do that anymore, because it's pointless. So anyways, this latest one, they were talking about Ghostbusters, and we have one of those at Tucson Pinball, so we were kind of, or I was kind of curious as to how others would approach it. Because, you know, when you've played a game a couple times, you're more than a couple times, and you're kind of familiar with it, you say, okay, this is my goal, this is my strategy, kind of want to do this. It's kind of interesting to hear somebody else's perspective without you priming that conversation at all. It's like, what do they just, without any input from me, what are they going to say? And they went through, and each one of them, so you're actually getting six different strategies, potentially. There was a little bit of overlapping on stuff, but it was kind of cool to just hear what they were saying. And I don't even remember some of the stuff, but I do remember Ryan saying that, hey, I've never been to Stay Puft. And I was driving along the first time I heard that, and I said, hey, I've never been to Stay Puft yet either. And so that was one of the goals I actually had recently is, you know, I sat there and I played several games in a row just trying to get to Stay Puft on that right orbit. And I just couldn't do it because that Gozer mode, right before the third mode, I just couldn't get past that. And so, you know, and I got to, I was one shot away or like 1 second away from having it time out or whatever. And then all you have to do is requalify your modes and you shoot that right orbit and it'll put you into that mode with the new code set. I still have 1.10 on the machine down at our location because I heard the new 1.11, which fixes the video mode issue, adds a couple other issues and like flippers getting weaker or something like that. And I don't really want to deal with that. We kind of know what's going on with 1.0. And so we'll just kind of deal with that. So that's the way it is. But either way, ever since 1.05, they've made it easier to get through the modes. Even with that, I'd still not been to Stay Puft because that right ramp is still hard. No matter what you change the code to, that right ramp's hard. So you can't get through Gozer without shooting that right ramp. Sometimes you find it, sometimes you don't. So anyways, listening to that game, or listening to that conversation, and Ryan's like, yeah, you know, I've heard it's like a 50 million point thing or whatever, and then Kevin says, no, it's a 50 million a shot, because they were talking about playfield multipliers. It's like, well, what's really awesome is when you light the multipliers, you hit that, you've got your 6x going, and then you start Stay Puft, and then it goes from being 50 million a shot to 300 million a shot because you got your multipliers going. And I'm sitting there like, man, I guess I can understand how you can blow up a game all of a sudden like that. So anyways, fast forward to today, and at the biweekly, we had Mr. Kevin Ryan visiting from out of town, and I asked him if he wanted to come play some pinball, that we were having an event, and he's more than welcome to come. Or if he wants to get together, you know, kind of just more casually, that's cool too. I mean, it's kind of a long holiday weekend, and we're all going to be recovering after tomorrow anyway, so, you know, schedules are pretty open. So he was able to make it to the event, and we were playing on Ghostbusters as one of our games. So let's kind of back up. I'm player two. His first ball was very Ghostbustery, and just a little over a million, I think. He was doing what I did on ball two, and that is not hit much of anything. And so on my first ball, I got through the first right orbit mode, Who Brought the Dog, and I think I had started, yeah, I had started and finished that next tier, and I can't even think of what it is, where you hit the left ramp, and then all of a sudden you have to hit the other four shots. That's your countdown. It's kind of a hurry-up. You lock in your points value. Spook Central, that's the mode. So, and I had that locked in, like the timer, the countdown hadn't even started. So I had that locked in at the max value, which is some interesting number. It's like 15,560,000 or something, or like 530 or 630, whatever it is. It's kind of a strange number, I think. But either way, it was maxed out. Hit my first two shots right off the bat, then hit that right orbit pretty easily. And then you have to hit that right ramp, and I missed, and I missed, and I missed, and I missed, and then I drained. And so after ball three, or after ball two, it's sitting at like I don't know, like 15 million, and I think I had like 68 at the end of my second ball. So Kevin goes up ball three, and he starts one of his strategies. I think it was his intermediate strategy was to, you want to get to 60 ghosts. You want to get into loop and supers, and if you can get your multiplier going, that's great. If you can get a little bit of an advance on your super jackpot value, that's great too. You know, just whatever it is, get those 60 ghosts and then just loop that ramp all day long or until you can't anymore. So he does just that, and no multiplier, but the super jackpot value, I swear I saw it say something like 15 and change million points the first time. And then, but then when he looped that several times, but then he missed, and then he looped it several more times, and then the final one that I saw, it said Lupin Super Jackpot 8.3 or whatever like that. So I'm not quite sure what happened, if maybe that was only the first shot was worth 15 million and everything else was worth 8.5-ish, but he hit that thing like 24, 26 times, I think, during that mode. So he started that ball with like 15 million and he ended the ball with 660-ish, so upper 600s. And I'm watching this, I'm like, you know, left side, right side brain conversation, you know, the left side's going, wow, this is really impressive. I don't think I've ever seen anybody loop this many times. And the right side is like, oh shit. So, you know, that ball ends, and I'm just like, well, my 68 was, you know, based off of the first two balls, and sometimes everybody's gonna struggle in that game, right? So it's like, you know what? Some games that 68's gonna win it for you, and you could just walk up and be like, hey, you know, I don't have much catching up to do, or I can just plunge this away. And the way the first two balls were going for him, I was kind of like, you know, this might be all I need, actually. But man, he walked away from ball three, and I was just like, dude, that was awesome. So I step up, ball three. I have finished. Well, okay, so Gozer had timed out without me finishing it. So that's the third light, and that was lit solid. I was gonna continue on that stack anyways. I don't know why, but I thought I had like 1 second left on the timer when I had drained, and so I was thinking, hit the skill shot and go back into Gozer again, restart that timer, and then see what happens. But turns out that wasn't the case. Turns out Gozer had finished, and I hit that shot for the skill shot, so that was start mode plus the 10% score, which is 68 million, another 7 million, woohoo. When you're staring down 660 million as your goal. So I hit that, and then all of a sudden that fourth insert lit up and started flashing. And my brain goes, you know what? A couple hours ago, we were listening to a podcast, and they said that this mode is worth like 50 million a shot. And I had never seen it before, and I had no idea what to expect. But in that moment, I'm sitting there going, okay, what is the display asking you to do? And what do you need to do? And so I looked, and I don't know if I want to describe this or not, because like this is the top mode of the longest stack on Ghostbusters. So I don't really want to describe it too much. But basically there's four lit shots, and you're told to like pick one or whatever. So I'm gonna explain it. I'm sorry. I'm gonna completely ruin it. So like it says choose your path, like Gozer comes in and it's like choose your evil or whatever like that. And it's really cool, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I've never been here, this is awesome. And then it's like, okay, so the four main shots, you've got the spinner shot, the left ramp, then you've got the right loop, and then you've got the right ramp, I think. Those are the four. Those are the four that are lit, and you're basically told to choose your path, essentially. And each one of them had like an X on it, and I don't really understand. Now that I've been there, and it won't be like a spoiler like I just did to you, I kind of want to see what, like, know exactly what was going on and what I should have been doing. So The previous two balls, I don't think I'd hit that captive ball on the left, but I think I got it through ghosts. And I had two locked balls already. And I think when I started Stay Puft, I think I had like one other shot. I was at like 49 ghosts. And so then the storage facility lights on that left ramp. So I hit the right orbit to do whatever it does on your choose your path type thing. And then I saw that green insert was on, and my brain goes, oh my goodness, there are four shots for 50 million a shot, as far as I know, because that's what the podcast said. And if I hit that left ramp, I get three balls and ball save and a chance to do a little bit of damage on this thing. So all of a sudden, like, I'm standing there and my hands are kind of jittery, and I'm just like, you've made this ramp shot thousands of times, probably. Please make it one more time. And my first shot, I hit it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, let's see what happens. And so, it does the intro, everything goes nuts. It says capture all the ghosts. And I'm like, no, I'm going to collect all the Stay Puffs. And so I started that mode with like 70 or 80 million or whatever it was. And I'm just hitting stuff, and I keep hearing the sound effects, and I look up when the ball save's going because I know it's kind of safe, and I look up at the display, and like the Stay Puft guy is just like stepping on cars and walking across the skyline, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is such an awesome mode, and just reinforces that the sound and the dots and just everything on Ghostbusters is so well meshed that it's such a great experience. That is an awesome game. It's hard as crap, but that's an awesome game. And so anyway, so I'm going through this mode, and I hit the atta ball, so I've got four balls going, ball saves going. Those stupid Scolari brothers keep getting in the way of the shots that I'm aiming for. So you're kind of having to alternate which ones you actually want to aim for. And then get down to two drop, like do a double drain really quick after the ball ends, and I'm like, well, okay, so went from two to four just like that, and then I don't even remember how the third ball drained, but it did somehow, and I don't remember if the mode was still going by the end of that. I think it had just a little bit of time left, but all of a sudden the Scolari targets drop down, and I'm looking, and I'm hitting these shots still, and it's not displaying my overall score, and it doesn't do that until I break a shot and it goes out, and I'm just like, I have no idea. And I think I've heard people behind me be like, I think he's got it. And so anyways, I step back, I look at the bonus, and it's like 40 million in bonus, which was, it's pretty cool. It's watching the bonus tick up on that is a lot of fun, especially when it says bonus held and then it does it again. 'Cause that's cool too, and that tends to be a lot of points. So anyways, I step back and it says like storage facility multi-ball like 24 million, which I think that might just be what it says, 'cause that's what everybody gets in that mode is like 25. It's always in like the 30 million range. I don't think I've ever seen anybody get higher than that. But it's a ghost collecting mode, not a point collecting mode, so whatever. So step back, watching the displays go on with like the modes and the bonus countdowns and stuff like that. And then it goes and does the score comparison, and I have like 780 million. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I just got 700 million points in a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man mode combined with storage facility multi-ball. That just made my night. And Kevin is a very awesome dude. He's very, very cool dude. He's like, that was pretty sweet. Good job. And I said, I have to confess something. I only know about that mode because I listened to your tutorials on the way here again. And I said, I've never been there before. I didn't know that was going to be 50 million a shot until you brought it up in the podcast. And he's like, wait. So you're telling me that I told you how to play that mode? And I was like, yeah. So, anyways, that is why this episode is called Applying Tutorials, because you want to get better at games whether it's to get more points or to just get into different new or further areas of a game to explore more and to see what the pinball machine has to offer. Because these modern machines, there's so much in there, and I'm not expecting to ever finish all the different mode ladders on that machine. Just because, you know, I finished four, and there's five more left to do, you know, and at that point, I'm just like, you know, that was the end of ball three, and it took me three balls to get there. Some players are good enough that they're going to be able to do that without a problem, but, well, not without a problem, but they'll be able to do it. I don't expect to. But I was super happy with getting to that mode. And I don't even know how to complete it. I don't know if you do or if you just, it ends when it ends, but whatever it is, it was an amazing experience. It was a lot of fun, and my next match sucked because I was still on that high and I was just completely distracted. I actually played Ghostbusters the next player I played against, and I think I got like 20 million or something. And I didn't care. So, anyways. So how about we do a project update? Because, you know, that's the end of the Ghostbusters talk. So, Joust is at a standstill. The file format issue with getting the playfield cutouts for the inserts, that might be resolved. It's just down to the communication back and forth. I was able to convert a file from a PDF to a .ai so that they can open it in Adobe Illustrator and make their magic circles so their machine can cut it out so I don't have to, because I tried doing it by hand. It looked like crap. So, yeah. But I did, with that kind of throwaway playfield I had done, the overlay, I stuck that down to a sheet of plywood. And I sprayed it with clear because I sanded it with 600 grit and it took the paint right off, or the ink right off. I sanded it with 2500 grit, took the ink right off. And I'm like, well, maybe we'll just wipe this with naphtha and see what happens. So I did that, hit it with two layers of clear, 24 hours apart. And after a couple days, I got a pinball and I dropped it from a couple inches up. I did that about 100 times and it wasn't separating, the clear coat was not separating from the vinyl inked overlay, and I think I might just run with that. So when they get back to me and they cut that new overlay for me, I'm ready to go. I mean, the play field is sanded, it's scuffed up a little bit, it's been sanded with 600 or 800 grit, whatever it is. The overlay's gonna go right over top of it, and I'm gonna hit it with the clear coat. Going to do probably two or three layers of that, make sure everything's level, and then put it back together and play it. So maybe that one will finally be finished. And that one's never going on route. Just because. I want to stare at it and be like, you were such a pain in the butt, but you were finished. So, oh, and a friend got a Walking Dead premium and needed the space, so I have a taxi. That was cool. So that is, I'm kind of looking at that as like a rat rod restoration. If you're not familiar with the term, it is an automotive term, and it tends to be like older cars, like T-body old, Ford T-body type style, so like early 30s. And instead of them being all painted up and everything, like things are kind of mismatched and the bodies are never finished and, you know, but that motor, oh, that motor, that's, you know, that's the heart of gold, right? So for this, the cabinet actually is not in that bad a shape. It's really nice. The inside, I think this thing has seen two sodas, two Cokes, because Sprite, I don't think, would do this. And there's some interesting dust in there. It's like just coal soot, you know. It comes off with Magic Eraser, though. So the inside of the cabinet's nice and pretty again. The outside I'll get to a little bit. Really just want to get to the inside, vacuum that thing out. It looks great now. The paint stuck really nicely when I was hitting it with some Magic Eraser, so it didn't take off any of that. And the playfield, was partially stripped when I got it already, but I completely stripped the playfield on the top side. I put it in my little jig fixture thing that I use to elevate the playfield so that the bottom stuff is not resting on a table. And I hit it with clear, and I think I did 3 coats on that, and I sanded it. It's not going to be perfectly smooth, but, you know, because it is down to the wood in some spots, and I leveled the inserts, I hit it with clear after I scuffed it a little bit with some 800 grit sandpaper, and it's holding clear just great, and it's partially back together already. So, soldering pop bumpers, ugh. System 11, seriously, with those, like, the flat wire things that they use to get them onto the grounding braid and the power braid for the GI. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, consider yourself lucky, because that's kind of a pain in the butt, you know. Anyways, so yeah, that one's going back together nicely. When I took it apart, I took lots of pictures, and I split the playfield up into quadrants, so we have an upper left, an upper right, bottom left, bottom right, and those parts are all in gallon bags, so they're separate. And I'm not like, well, what is this for? This might be a lane guide, or this might be a guide up here. No, it's all quartered off. Everything's, you know, when you break it down like that, there's really not a whole lot there. There is a lot there, but it's not insurmountable. So, didn't get a whole lot of time to work on that the last couple days, but I did get a little bit. I think all the stuff is soldered back in, so now it's just turning wrenches and getting it back together. The clear coat looks pretty good. I hit it with a buffer when I was finally done sanding it up to 2500 grit. It's not glass finish, but it's pretty good. You know, it's like I said, it's going to be a rat rod type restoration. So it's gonna play fast. It's going to look interesting. And it's a good game, so I'm looking forward to that. That's what I'm excited about. Taxi's a fun game, Taxi's a hard game. It's one of those games that I absolutely hated for a while because I just couldn't figure it out. It's just like Diner, you know, it's Mark Ritchie designed these two games, and if you miss your shot, you're dead, because those outlanes are dead. If you get over there, it's gone. So don't get it over there if you want to last a little longer. So anyways, but forced myself to play it and learn it, and Taxi is a great, great game. It's still challenging, but it's a really good game. I mean, between that and Diner, those are the quickest two-ball multi-balls ever. Because, you know, but you're not supposed to sit there and just ring up jackpots on it. Like, it's supposed to be a challenge to get into that jackpot mode, which I actually did on Diner Tonight. I completed the rush, and I think that was the first time I had those 500K ramps. No, that's the second time I had those 500K ramps going. And I hit two of them, and then one of the balls drained, and that's the end of the multi-ball. But, you know, you pick up a million points on Diner, and that's, you know, that's good points on Diner. So anyways, I'm rambling for the last 8-10 minutes on non-tutorial stuff. But anyways, that's the project update. High speed hasn't been touched in a little while. I turn it on and play it from time to time, but some switches don't work, but it's still a fun layout to shoot. It's just a great design. And I really should not be buying anything else, but I kind of want to. But everything I'm looking at is like restoration games or project games, not restoration, and I'm like, you don't have the workroom for this, don't buy it. But if you don't buy it, it's gonna be gone, right? So we'll see what happens. But yeah, so projects are moving along, and had a new player come into town, and new to us, and He's a super cool dude, and if you like pinball podcasts, the Little Kings pinball podcast is one of those to listen to. They've got good information, they've got good some good chit chat on there, and Ryan, the other host of that, he owns Comet Pinball, and I buy all my LEDs from them because they're frosted domed. I've got them right here. The 2835. It's a two LED bulb. There's two LED units on the one or in the one bulb housing, and those are my favorite for GI. Those are so good. And so I've got a couple of colored ones as well that I'm going to do inserts on every game that ever comes home, because, you know, you color match your inserts and they just look that much more vibrant and stuff. But yeah, they're having a Black Friday sale. It runs till Cyber Monday, I think. I don't know what it is yet because I haven't checked. I don't think they announced it earlier today when I had been looking. But yeah, those are where I get my LEDs from, because they're priced nicely. They're exactly what I want in the presentation. Like, I like the frosted dome because it's not blinding, but it's still nice, bright, like super pure light. And on the games I have, a lot of them don't have a lot of thought put into the GI, you know, so they tend to be a little darker anyways. And brightening those things up with those LEDs makes a huge difference. So, anyways, shout out to Comet and shout out to the Little Kings Pinball Podcast. Thanks to Kevin for coming out to play with us and being an awesome dude. Pinball people are cool, and we're just reinforcing that stereotype every time I meet somebody from out of town or a new player that we just have never crossed paths. Pinball players are cool, and that's, you know, they're just fun people to be around, especially when they're, you know, let's go into Steve Irwin a little bit, in their environment, you know. Here we see a rare in Tucson pinball player in his natural habitat, the arcade. Yeah, so they're cool, and local players are, we've got a good group too, so. Fun conversation, fun event tonight, lots just good stuff all around, and yeah, so that's it. This should have been like a 20-minute podcast, and it's 32 minutes. My apologies, but it's late, and eat turkey tomorrow. Yay. All right. Later, everybody. Party on.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
It's Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Party time. Excellent.